Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church. It's a pleasure having you here. A big welcome to our visitors as well. If you have any questions about anything today, feel free to ask anybody around you. We're a pretty friendly bunch, so thanks for coming. Today we are celebrating VBS Sunday, Vacation Bible School Sunday, where we look at everything that we celebrated this last week at VBS. The theme of our VBS was A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And we looked especially at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, where it says that, thanks be to God, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see that theme reflected throughout our hymns, our readings, the sermon, the prayers, all of it today. So that is our worship theme for today, and we will start with a couple of songs from the VBS Kids. Good job, guys. All right, you guys can go find your parents in the seats. If the parents wanted to stand up and kind of wave so that they could see their kids. We'll continue with our opening hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father, hymn 449 in the red hymnal book in front of you. Thank you. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Amen. God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with all our heart, strengthen us in true faith, provide us with all we need, and keep us safe in your care. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 8 through 20. This served as our lesson for the third day of VBS, and we talked about how Josiah received a victory through God's word and saw that it was true and powerful. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From 2 Kings 22, Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest: "Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Asaiah the king's attendant, go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Azaiah went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says.
I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place. So they took her answer back to the king. The word of the Lord. We now join together in the psalm of the day, Psalm 46. The second lesson for this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. This contains the theme of the whole VBS week, that we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day comes from Luke chapter 8, verse 15. Alleluia. Happy are they who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bring forth fruit with patience. Alleluia. Stand in honor of the works of Jesus. The gospel lesson for this morning comes from our fifth lesson of VBS week, which shows the account of Jesus winning the victory over sin and death, from Luke 23 and 24. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." Then all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place. They beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the elders. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. They did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and any children who are in the congregation today can come forward, and you can actually meet me at the front steps today. Games do you guys like to play? Yep, sorry, Daniel, go ahead.
I'm sorry? Tag. Okay, he likes to play tag. That's good. Patrick?
Cops and Robbers.
Cops and Robbers is a good one.
Roblox.
Robots?
Roblox.
Oh, Roblox. Okay.
Tag.
Tag, okay, too. Yeah. Good. Video games. Yeah, you know, I used to play video games back in the day, too. Yeah, I was pretty into video games. You know what I did when I would lose? I would hit the reset button. Do you guys ever do that?
Yeah.
I'd make sure to hit that reset button. Because when you lose, what kind of feeling do you have?
A sad feeling.
A sad feeling, right? You don't always feel happy when you lose. But what do you feel when you win?
Glory.
Glory. Oh, good answer. Yeah, you feel happy, right? You're very excited when you win. So when you guys play a game and you're facing somebody who's bigger than you, maybe better than you, and you have that feeling of losing, that cannot feel so great, right? So you and I have that feeling too when it comes to facing Satan and sin and death. It seems like Satan and sin just seem to win all the time. So you know what God did? In a way, God hit the reset button. But not in a way where he was angry and mad and wanted to start over. No, God hit the reset button for you and me so that we wouldn't have to feel sad anymore. Now you and I can feel happy about winning. Thanks to Jesus. Jesus came and defeated sin and Satan for us. We talked a lot about that this last week at VBS. Let's pray and thank God for that victory. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for coming down to earth and winning the victories where we would lose. Lord, thank you for hitting the reset button in a way on our sin. Forgive us for the times when we do sin, and give us the strength to face up to Satan and sin, knowing that you have defeated Satan and sin for us. Praise be to you, Lord. We ask everything in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you guys can go back to your seats. And we'll continue with the next hymn, the hymn that the kids learned this week, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Our sermon text for today comes from 2 Kings chapter 22, the first lesson from today that's already been read. So let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your victory. Amen. I've been told that I'm a competitive person, and I think it's true. I think my wife is probably out there going, yeah, yeah, it's true. You know how I know it's true? Because when I win, I get that rush of excitement. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt that? That feeling of, yes, I won. And sometimes you try to hold it in so that people can't see how excited you are, or sometimes you do just let it go because you don't care. Yes, that sweet taste of victory. You know how else I know I'm a competitive person? Because just the opposite is true too. That feeling of defeat, I feel that one pretty strongly too. You ever felt that one? That sting, that heart-wrenching, twisting feeling, that ache where, oh, if I would have just done this differently, or if I would have come at it a different angle, or something. I wanted to do something different. I hate this feeling. That can be a really difficult feeling. Do you know that feeling? I think we all know that feeling. We all know that feeling, especially spiritually, too. There are lots of times when you and I face defeat spiritually. This week in VBS, we talked about a lot of things that threatened us. We talked about, first of all, the walls of Jericho threatening the Israelites, and how it was such a big enemy to overcome, and how sometimes you and I have these big enemies that we try to overcome but can't. We also talked about King Hezekiah, who had the army of Assyria on his doorstep at Jerusalem, threatening him, and so he was overcome by fear. We also talked about Satan and how he tempts us into sin and how we can be defeated. Sometimes there's just that one sin that seems to get us, and Satan knows it, and we fall for it. And there it is, that feeling of defeat. There are many times when you and I, sadly, know that feeling of defeat spiritually. So today, we're going to take a look at another one of our lessons from VBS, and it's going to help show us something very important about sin and defeat. And it's going to help show us something that often gets forgotten. The third lesson on day three for us in VBS was the King Josiah. King Josiah was a very interesting man. He had an interesting life. Josiah had, let's just say, a not normal upbringing. His grandpa, when he was king, was one of the worst kings Israel had ever seen. He let all of his people get led to all of these false gods, and these idols were built up for Baal, Asherah. People were worshiping the stars instead of the one who created them. He set up altars of all of this stuff in the temple instead of worshiping the true God in the temple. He did a lot of other unspeakable things too. And his son, Josiah's dad, was just as bad. In fact, Josiah's dad was so bad that his own officials organized his assassination. That's how bad he was. And then comes Josiah. The people make Josiah king at the solid age of 8 years old. 8 years old, he had to take the reins of a broken, defeated kingdom. And for 8 years, he ruled much like his father and his grandfather did. Until something, at the age of 16, something happened. All of a sudden, something changed. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened. All it says is that Josiah began to seek the Lord. He became a Christian. He became a believer in the one who was to come. And so what he did is he started to take out all of the idols that were in his kingdom. He started to get rid of all of the poles and altars to Baal and Asherah, to the stars. He started to clean up the temple so that people could focus once again on worship of the true God and of the one to come. And while they were cleaning out the temple, the priests made an interesting discovery. Hilkiah the priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. It was the book of the law. Book of the law is a name given to the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those five books were written by Moses, and they detailed how God chose the Israelites to be the nation to bring forth the Savior. And he made an agreement with them. It was a two-way covenant agreement where he would be their God. He would protect them. He would nurture them. He would help them prosper as they waited for the Savior. And they were to be his people and follow the laws that he gave them. He gave them these laws to keep them together as a nation. He gave them these procedures at the temple and all of these sort of pictures to bring out exactly what the coming Savior was going to do. And so these regulations and laws were kept, and the history of all of this in the book of the law. And yet here we are, 800 years later with Josiah, and the priests find this book of the law in the temple as if it was something new to them. Even the secretary for the whole kingdom says, "Hey, look, I've found this book." And when he read it to the king, there was that feeling of defeat, that twisting feeling, because he knew the Israelites did not keep their end of that agreement. We're told that when he heard the book read, he tore his robes. Tearing his robes was a sign back then in that culture of deep sorrow, of acknowledgement of sin. See, he knew that God was all-powerful, God was all-knowing, God was holy. So he knew that God held his end of the argument, but that his father, his grandfather, and all of the other evil kings before him in the 800 years prior did not. He knew what God says about sin and about what happens when somebody sins. So he had to know what was going to happen to the people. He knew they deserved punishment. So he gets together sort of this delegation to make an appeal before the prophetess Huldah. And here's where you have all of these names that are given, you know, that I read earlier. Maybe you were wondering to yourself, what's up with all these names and the father's names and their father's names and the occupations and where they lived even? It was even going on about the prophetess and her husband and where she lived. And why? Because here you have this sort of formal delegation that's being formed. It's almost like a hearing in a courtroom where you have the king represented, you have the temple represented, you have the people represented, and now they're coming before God and they want to know, what's God going to do? We haven't held our end of the bargain. What's the verdict? Guilty? Not guilty. Victory or defeat? Prophetess says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and provoked me to anger by all their idols their hands have made. My anger will burn against this place and not be quenched." Are you kind of surprised by the verdict? We're here to celebrate that God is our mighty fortress. Isn't he all about forgiveness? Here's this formal appeal. Josiah's before him. He started to get rid of the idols. Wouldn't he forgive the people? What God here is showing the people is that he's very serious when it comes to sin. He has to punish sin because he is just. A just judge punishes the evildoer. You wouldn't want a judge sitting in the courtroom in Citrus Heights, California, who was letting all of the lawbreakers go free. No, a good judge, a just judge, punishes sin. This two-way agreement with the nation of Israel had been broken, and the people needed to be punished for that. There, Josiah must have been feeling that heartache, wrenching, twisting feeling of defeat. Are you getting a little nervous? Are you feeling that heart-wrenching feeling of defeat? You take a look at the Israelites and all of the idols that they put up, and you look at your life and think, uh-oh, I do the same thing. Money, possessions, my time, sinful pleasures. How dusty is your Bible at home? What good is a book if you don't read it, right? Especially the good book. Or maybe you're even thinking to yourself as I say that right now, no, I do read my Bible. And therefore you set yourself up as an idol, almost to worship yourself. Is your heart aching? Does it feel that defeat setting in? Or maybe it isn't. Maybe you're thinking, well, yeah, I know, yeah, I sin, but I'm a Christian, God forgives me anyway. So you go in headlong into sin thinking you'll be just fine, God will forgive you. And yet there you prove that you forget what God's word says, just like the Israelites. God is serious about sin. And that defeat, that ache, that heart-twisting pain, comes. So what do? We can listen. And we can start by listening to what God said next. Because God's message to Josiah was not done. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord, and you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I am going to bring on this place. Yeah, God was going to punish the nation, but God revealed something else to Josiah. He revealed his grace. Josiah could have faced that punishment. He could have. He too let the people go into sin for 8 years, from age 8 to age 16. And yet here God shows Josiah his grace, because Josiah's heart had that feeling of defeat. It was responsive. He didn't harden it. So God shows him the message of his grace. He would bring him to his fathers. Not his evil father, not his evil grandfather. No, his fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his fathers of faith. And he would be buried in peace. Because God forgives sin. That seems strange to you. We just talked about how God is just. How can God be just and forgive, or just and punish sin, and yet at the same time be gracious and forgive sin? How does that make sense? Isn't that a paradox? Yes, and it is the most beautiful paradox. And it's all over the pages of Scripture. That's what God's Word reveals. It reveals to our hearts our sin so that it can prepare to reveal that message of that Savior. Because God's justice in punishing sin and God's grace in forgiving sin meet at the cross. That's where God showed how serious he is when it comes to sin and how serious he is when it comes to his love for you and me. Josiah knew that. That's what that temple was all about, all of those procedures and pictures pointing forward to the coming Savior. They all spoke of one who was to come, we know him as Jesus, who would come and be undefeated for you and me. You and I look up to sin and Satan and we think, oh, we can't do anything. Oh, not Jesus. No, no, no. He looks down on sin and Satan and he defeats them for us. That twisting ache, that pain of defeat, Jesus took it and died with it on the cross. Now all that's left in your heart, thanks to Jesus, is that yes, that thrill of victory, that rush, that sweet taste of victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now in your life, when that sin pops up, that one that usually gets the best of you, you can go, well, look at this. I found a book. And this book tells me that God is my mighty fortress. He is the one in whom I can take refuge. I can trust in him. This is the God that knocked down the walls of Jericho when it threatened the Israelites. This is the God that destroyed the army of Assyria and overcame Hezekiah's fears. This is the God who sin and Satan threatened us. Well, he sent his son. Now where death is your sting? Where death is your victory? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this book tells me. Sin doesn't stand a chance. Never did. God's undefeated for you and me. You can understand why he preserved this word for Josiah to find in the temple. This word is powerful. This word shows us Christ's victory. Our victory. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand. May that victory guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus until the day that you have peace in heaven. Amen. We'll now confess our faith in Christ's victory according to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. This morning in our special intercessions, we pray for all of those with health challenges, including Rick Covey, David Haugen, and Bev Heinitz. We also pray in thanks for the anniversaries celebrated in our congregation. Steve and Marilyn Seal, who are celebrating 15 years of marriage. Brent and Michelle Sindorf, who are also celebrating 15 years. David and Suzanne Matthews, celebrating 28 years of marriage. And Homer and Norma Carson, celebrating 52 years of marriage. We also pray in thanks for all of those celebrating birthdays this week. Please stand for the prayer of the church on page 10. Lord God, our maker and preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. We are not worthy of all the mercies you show us. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love. Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them. Heal those who are sick. Cheer those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed. And comfort all who are old and infirm. Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being. Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore. Gracious Father, please help everyone who is faced with health challenges this week. Be with them, their families, their doctors and nurses, and all others who are helping them shoulder this burden. Lift their spirits with the sacrifice of Christ, whose death made sure that someday all of these difficulties will vanish forever. Continue to bless all of those who are celebrating birthdays. Strengthen their faith to see your loving hand in their lives. Allow this day to be an opportunity for their continued thanks for your grace. Lord, we thank you for the love that began so many years ago for those now celebrating anniversaries. In your divine wisdom, allow both good days and bad to draw their hearts and lives closer to each other, that they may be an example of the love you have for all of us. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord, and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory. We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated for our next hymn, Jesus Sinners Does Receive. Please note that we are singing verses 1 through 4 and 7.
Jesus, Sinners Does Receive.
please stand for prayer? O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, To God Be the Glory.
God's house with you this morning as we had the opportunity to be reminded of the victory that we have in our Savior Jesus. If you're here in connection with our Vacation Bible School, I have two important thank yous to say. First of all, thank you for worshiping with us this morning and bringing your children here to sing God's praises. We're very thankful to have had the opportunity to share Jesus' love with you. And also thank you for allowing us for the past 5 days of Vacation Bible School also to share Jesus' love with your children. It was a fantastic week. In a moment, we're going to see a video that kind of recaps some of the fun we had. We're just very grateful for the opportunity to have connected with you through our Vacation Bible School. We certainly invite you to come back and worship with us again very soon. A couple announcements to share this morning. As always, I'd encourage you to pick up the flyer in the back so you can stay caught up with everything happening at St. Mark's. First announcement relates to a Bible information class that Pastor Groth is looking to get started this fall. Bible information class is approximately 15 weeks of very solid Bible study that can lead to membership in our church. So for new connections that would like to join St. Mark's congregation, Bible information class is for you. It's also good for solid members as a good review of Christian doctrine. The other neat thing about solid members joining the class with new people is that they can forge some strong connections, which also helps strengthen that connection at St. Mark's. So if you have any input for Pastor Growth related to what day or what night of the week would work best for you, please share that with him. He's looking to get that class scheduled this week, and it'll be starting this fall. So you can think about that. We also want to continue to highlight for you Crossroads Consulting Ministry, moving forward with Phase 3, God willing, this fall. Phase 2 helped us get a really close look and understanding of our congregation. Phase 3 is going to help us move forward with some planning and driving our ministry forward. We need $7,000 to make Phase 3 happen. We're already about halfway there, which is outstanding. Thank you for your generosity. And if God moves you to give toward this cause, we would very much appreciate that so we can move forward with Crossroads Phase 3. I'd like to put on your radar that on August 12th, which is a Saturday, we're going to be having a special cleanup workday on our campus. Helps get the new school year started with a campus that's looking good. Another opportunity is to put our best foot forward for Pastor Colander, who will be joining us in early September. So we'll be sharing more information about that workday, hopefully an itemized list that you can sign up for various tasks and own them and help make our campus look as good as possible for the start of the new school year. Last announcement this morning, this kind of came out of Crossroads, where we created about 30 of these Ask Me About St. Mark's School yard signs. A very easy way for you to put this in your yard and just encourage your neighbors to think about asking you about St. Mark's School if they're interested. If you're willing to talk about St. Mark's School, if somebody asks you about it, I'd encourage you to pick one of these up. They're underneath the school counter in the back. I'd ask that you sign your name and the city in which you live. We want to keep track of where these things go. And then in a couple months, we'll follow up with you and see if they've produced any questions about St. Mark's School. If nothing else, it might get people to our website, which is also a great place to learn. So please consider picking up one of these yard signs. Lastly this morning, we have a video for you highlighting some of our youth activities this summer. Basketball camps, man camp, Tree of Life Bible camp, and then this last week of Vacation Bible School. So please turn your attention to the screens.